Hey guys, on this episode of EdTech, I'm going to be joined by Ernie Bailey, Scott Tyner, and Rob Brasbury. We're going to be talking about occupancy sensors, gathering metrics, and all this and more on EdTech.
The network for the AV industry.
What are you listening to?
This
is AV.
This is AV Nation.
This is AV Nation.
This is EdTech, episode 80, IoT Sleepers.
Support for AV Nation is brought to you by
Sure, sound extraordinary.
This is EdTech, the higher ed monthly podcast. I'm your host, Bill O'Donnell. And this month, as always, I'm joined by Ernie Bailey. How are you, sir?
How are you doing?
Good. Mr. Scott Tyner.
Hey, Bill. Hey. Glad to be here.
Yay. And as always, Mr. Rob Brasbury. If you notice, Rob is doing the total life of the tech manager, in which he's also doing the podcast and also supervising a tech summit here.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, let's see if we can.
Oh, you can get some.
See in the background here.
Sennheiser. As,
So Rob's, we got a whole bunch. Yeah. There's a whole bunch of. And I'll make everybody dizzy right now, but we've got about 20-30 vendors here, so we've got Sennheiser, Sony, Panasonic, ClearOne, a whole bunch of people here, some integrators showing off some wares. So we're just getting set up, getting ready to start in about a half hour. So if I pop off on you, don't be surprised, but
no, it's fine. We'll stick
with the conversation.
Yep. So one of the articles that we brought up is this comes to us from Commercial Integrator. And it said some of the best commercial IoT devices on the market today. Now, if you go through, there is a whole litany of them. There's some stuff that varies on security. There was actually a transparent display from Planar, which I looked and went, cool. And then back of me is looking, going, that's very cool. I also know our students would use that to write certain unfathomable language on. But anyway. One of the things that I think got missed on here is, and it's really more for the sake of a classroom manager or technology management, Crestron's actually releasing it on December 1st. So when this comes out, I think it'll actually be a little bit of a sleeper, but I think it'll be pretty cool, is they actually are putting out a power over Ethernet occupancy sensor. Now, is that really like that big of a shakeup? Yes and no. Occupancy sensors have been around for quite a while. You know, a lot of times they're used in lighting systems. Lutron has a bunch of them and everything else. But a lot of times you usually have to wire power to the thing, and you usually have to wire some sort of, you know, have to get wired to the I/O on a control processor of some sort. This is just a network device. And then you could just have your network folks drop it in. And then just, you know, as long as you know the MAC address, you can just route it back to, you know, whichever, whether you want it to go back to your control processor or if you just want to route it back to whatever your management software is. So, as I say, Ernie, have you guys been starting to use this or look at this a little more?
Well, we've looked at it. Obviously, we haven't used it yet since it's not shipping.
Yeah.
But it is something we are interested in. You know, we put occupancy sensors. That's the hardest phrase in our industry to say, I believe. but we do put them in every room. And we're working with some new monitoring and fusion software and automatic ticket generation and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And one thing I've asked our programmers to look at is, you know, when we get an error message, you know, generated by a device in the room, can we check one to see if the room is occupied? Mm-hmm. You know, was it just a network hiccup or is there somebody in the room? And also at the same time, look at our scheduling software. Is the room scheduled for an event? Is there an event taking place in the room when we get the error message? And it can escalate the ticket automatically to the tech, let them know that this is a right now, not a when you get to it.
Yeah, the thing that we've been looking at is one, we actually just upgraded our room scheduling software, which for us was CollegeNet now, or you know, 25 Live or Live 25.
Right.
Anyways, but one of the big things that we're trying to integrate with this stuff And it's in the same boat as you put it, Ernie. And that is, we want to see if the room's being occupied, mostly so that when we do any kind of maintenance or any kind of, you know, oh, let me go check up on this. Or, you know, a lot of times our programmer will go and, you know, do like a, you know, he's gotten it down to where the entire building is set up like this. I've updated the programming for the touch panel, updated the programming for the processor. Let me go check the stuff out. And it's literally just an added, you know, oh, I can go into this room. And, you know, yeah, you're right. It's in the realm of whether it's scheduled or not. It's one of those things I think later on, I'm sure our capital plans or management folk are eventually going to want to see these things, mostly because for us, we've been using Solstice for a bit, and we finally got Kepler up and running. And for them, they, you know, suddenly got interested because they're like, oh, we have more metrics / demographic data that we can get on our students. Now, it should be noted with Solstice and Kepler and everything, it doesn't give away, like, you know, PII information. At most, it's, you know, oh, this person's using Mac, this person's using Android, that kind of
thing. This is the next discussion on Scott's article, right?
Oh. How much data is your school mining? See, as I say, true, but in Scott's case, he doesn't have to worry about HIPAA laws yet.
No, that makes it more fun.
No, well, you know, once again. But now, like I said, there's certain things that I don't always think, you know, folks are going to like light up on fire and say, oh my gosh, this is the greatest thing ever. But it does make life easier. And,
these are the little things that you stick in rooms that nobody knows about, but can really change the way the room works for the user. Mm-hmm. There's these little tools and tricks that we have. Everybody wants to walk in a room and just have it work. And these are some of the little tools and tricks that we have to make it work. And when you put it on Ethernet, it just becomes that much more powerful and accessible to people across campus for various means. I mean, I would think security departments would be interested in occupancy sensors and motion detectors and the like as well.
Yeah. The one of the other things that we've also put in and, you know, it's been around for quite a while, so this is not like, you know, a new hotbed item or anything like that. But if you have divisible rooms, you know, there's the partition sensor. Like, you know, Crestron literally makes a partition sensor. Is it world changing? No, it's literally an electric eye, but it's Crestnet based. So, you know, as long as you set the ID, here you go. And you can actually set like conditional logic with it. And
right.
For us, Bill, actually, that was an amazing one for me because I'm sorry to say, just recently heard about this because we'd never used it before. But we have a divisible room on campus, and we hate it because if it gets opened up, you either have to turn off the speakers or turn on the speakers, and people forget to do so. And so it's closed, and people are talking in one room, and it's coming out the other room. Or they do the opposite, and they're recording in one room, but all the voices from the other room are getting put on the recording. Right. And so headache after headache after headache. Well, all of a sudden, this tiny little partition sensor takes those all away. Yeah, and just boom, we just fixed years of problems by installing this little device.
We did that in one of our larger divisible classrooms. It seats 80 in each half or 160 combined. We have a single control system in the room and 8 wireless microphones for them to carry around, ask questions, or for presentations. We've got it set where as soon as the divider finishes its path, the mics are split, 4 on each half. Mm-hmm. And we've got a little Crestron manual touch panel where they can be reassigned by a technician in a locked closet. But all he's got to do is walk in and punch a few buttons and it automatically lights up and tells him what's assigned where. Of course, we can do it remotely, but...
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes the instructor you want to make sure the instructor has the one in his hand that you're assigning. Mm-hmm. That's can't always do that remotely unless he holds up to the camera. You read the number off of it. we've done that, but yeah, those partition sensors are wonderful. We've got some rooms we're getting ready to deploy these out in. I've got one large lab. It's both a It's interesting. It can be a biology lab, damp lab, or it can be a computer lab with built-in computers in it. So we keep spare keyboards around in case you get formaldehyde or something in them. But the room has 8 movable walls, so it can be configured in multiple ways. So we're going to...
I'm sorry, Ernie, that's all awesome.
Well,
that's where you end up getting that's one of the few times where a Crestnet block still comes in handy.
Yes.
Good old block. Oh, I couldn't stand 8 different ways. I hate a room that divides in 2. So good bravo to you.
If it was up to me, there would be no movable walls.
Oh, but okay, guys. So this is my big year project. And that is, we have our big ballrooms, and it is a 3-way divisible room, which is like, okay, that doesn't seem so bad. Until you then look at the floor boxes, and there are 8 floor boxes in this room. And there's, I'm trying to remember, 3, 3, and then 2. And I look at it, and I'm like, why? And the folks all said, oh, yeah, no, we still want to use all the floor boxes and everything. And initially we were looking going, yeah, we're going to use NVX. And it turns out that Crestron's still working on, the wall plate conundrum of that one. But, that's one of those ones where we're definitely going to be putting in a couple of partition sensors, a couple of occupancy sensors. And, they also suddenly said, oh, we want to still have wireless touch panels. And we just looked and we're like, we're going to give you an iPad. I was like, come on. I'm done baking my brain these days. However, due to the floor box issues and everything, we are still going to go with, just traditional DM with it. Not knocking it or anything like that. However, just recently we've kind of started playing around with the NVX tech and everything. And Scott or Rob, if either of you guys, I know Ernie's played around with this a little bit. Have you guys gotten a chance to play around with the NVX stuff yet?
No, I haven't had an opportunity to. So I guess I have to come up with your way then.
Oh yeah, in my case, it's literally here. We're gonna start doing this because we got a new building, and here, all we have to do now is just network drops.
We're exploring it because we're putting in a new building in 21, summer 21, but we don't have any of it on campus yet.
Now, Ernie, actually, I do have a question about this because literally yesterday we got our first NVX system up, and already I'm feeling like it's a boulder to kill an ant with. But it's two of the one's an NVX 350. And then 352 at the podium and everything. So literally, if you look at this unit, it has, I believe it's a 2 HDMI input and 1 HDMI output, along with, obviously the network output and everything. But it also has a Dante network connection. So, we also end up in this room. It's essentially like our college boardroom. And our CIO was like, oh, we want everything on the network. And I kind of went, okay. And so we went and got a Shure digital discussion unit and linked that up via a Dante adapter and everything. And then we put all the equipment in the data center for this building. And I won't lie, having all that accessible via the network is actually pretty nice.
Yes.
Especially because we're using BSS, and even their Blue Link equipment, if it's the DSP with the Blue Link built in, or sorry, the Dante built in, it's 32 channels. If you get the bridge, it has 64, which, it's kind of funny when you find out that Dante itself can do what I think it's like at least
128.
Yeah. And, part of me was going, oh, I want the 128. Then it dawned on me, I'm going, why would I need 128?
Yeah, because you can.
Yeah, it's true. It is because you can. But at the same time, it's like, oh, well, I want the full thing. It's like, and funny enough, our programmer and I were talking on the drive back from the building. And he went, you know, we're really going to have to figure out how to segment this a little bit better. I'm like, why? Just label everything properly. He looked at me and goes, Bill, I was like, do you really want to have, you know, our broadcast guys be able to route the stuff that's in the boardroom to the recording rig? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a good point. Oops. But no, the thing actually I did want to ask you, Ernie, was have you guys gotten like the director unit yet or anything or not yet?
We haven't. We haven't deployed it. It's our issue is we're across so many different subnets with our system and just all the coordination it's going to take to make it really work across the subnets seems to be an issue. We don't have enough of the NVX units to make that to make that an issue yet, but we're going to get to that point. Looks like we're losing Rob for a minute.
Once again, it's the life of the tech manager. He's
that's right.
Cats.
We would like to use the director, and it's one of those things, just getting it higher up the priority chain.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, if we deploy enough NVX, we'll get to that point.
Yeah. Now, just to back up for folks who are unaware and everything, the NVX units themselves, there's the 350 series, so 351, 350, 352, all that fun stuff. Then there's the encoders and decoders, which they just encode or decode. The 350s, the 351s can do either or. We actually tested it out because our installer guy said, hey, we have a WebEx share unit here. Oh, we could switch this thing to be both the encoder and decoder. And we timed it out. It takes about 2 minutes for that thing to switch from being an encoder to a decoder.
Thank you for doing that for us. We haven't gotten to that point yet.
Yeah. So. And as someone who's both a tech manager and an installer, 2 minutes, that's an eternity.
That's a lifetime, yeah.
Yeah. Because we have folks who, you know, if it doesn't switch within, you know, literally 2 seconds, they're like, oh, things busted. 2 minutes, they look at us and go and say, it's broken.
Like, oh. That's not seamless.
Yes. So to make things easier, we're, as I say, it's kind of funny. In this room, we will have a an NVX 350 at the projector because, you know, we can set the scaling and everything else, although we've had this wonderful debate about do you really need – actually, you know what, guys? This is something I'll ask you. Do you guys prefer to put a scaler in, or do you like to, or is it just easier to kind of set more of a strict EDID table? Like literally, this is the resolution of the projector. This is the only thing that's going to go into it.
It depends.
All right, Pat Brown.
You know, can you control your output? You know, if we have a scaled out, I'd rather have a scaled output on my, you know, at the source end somehow. And then not put a scaler at each endpoint.
Yeah.
But there have been times we've had to. And NVX has made it really where it was more affordable to do that. Mm-hmm. And that we just rebuilt a room that had a couple of real nice 1080p, 80-inch displays.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they needed a little bit bigger display. I mean, just they were just a hair bit small. It was a radiology conference room, and they were needing – and they also really needed 4K for their main displays. We were converting the room over to video conferencing. So we took their 280s that were, you know, just like 4 or 5 years old in real good shape, made those confidence monitors for video conferencing, put them on the back wall, put new 86-inch 4K monitors up at the front for the main room displays. And they wanted to run 4K. Well, you know, we had 1080p confidence monitors, and they didn't need to be, you know, there's no need to have the confidence monitors 4K. By doing everything over NVX, it, you know, it handled the scaling for us and allowed us to stay 4K all the way till it got to that point. Yeah. So everything is 4K in the room.
The big thing to note out of the NVX stuff, though, is the 350 series, or at least the 3.5 line, that can do the scaling. If you have just the D30, right. Yeah, that thing is just literally what you shoot out is what goes into it. It doesn't
that wasn't even available when we started designing this room. So It came out during the planning. We just ignored it.
But the other thing too is that, and this is just one of those things we're looking at it, is that the building that we recently acquired had a video wall. And, you know, we were kind of talking it over, and some of our capital plans folks and the board of trustees folks looked and said, oh, that would be a big wow factor. And, you know, our CIO looked at us and was like, you know, how much is it going to cost? And I kind of looked and I'm like, and then it dawned on me, you know, once we actually got the NVX stuff going, our programmer said, oh yeah, no, all you have to do is just literally say how many displays, what the resolution is for the displays, and boom, it, you know, you can have yourself a video wall with six network drops and, you know, obviously six NVX units, and there you go. You know, is that going to be everywhere? No, but it's reusing and repurposing, you know, what's been in there. Anyway. No, it's just one of those things. Like I said, going forward, we're looking at this and kind of trying to slim down what we have and everything. Speaking of which, because we're coming up onto winter break and everything, I was kind of curious as to what everyone had as far as projects going. So, Ernie, you guys have anything fun in the pipeline? Or?
Well, our biggest project over the winter break is really for August. In that we're adding video conferencing and heavily upgrading our active learning center. We're going to connect it to one that's a 3-hour drive apart, make them into one active learning center with, you know, single program running both sides, audio, video, mics on every table, which we've been using pass around mics. We've had one camera. We're going to put a camera for every table. Mm-hmm. There are 32 tables in the classroom. So we found some small, you know, static cameras. They're, you know, hang and forget, basically, no pan, tilt, zoom.
Yeah.
There's six people at each table in our active learning center, and we figure we can get 5.5 of them faces from a single shot, ceiling mounted camera. But we're going to go in and do the hardware upgrade, the hardware add. We're going to put mics on the tables, new speakers over the tables, hang the cameras. There's not going to be a wire connected to any of these at this point. But this way, when semester ends in middle May, we can go in and we can have that done. Wiring team shows up on day one. Programmer has all spring semester to program it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can get that done. And then as soon as we finish the one in Little Rock, we'll go to our Fayetteville site and do that one. Spring break, we're going to do, it's much smaller. It's 8 tables instead of 32. So we figure over the spring break week, we can go in having already done one hardware install, do it up there over spring break. And then once again, their wiring team can be wiring, and then our programmer will be ready to move up there and finish things out. And we can get two rooms done with our small team over the summer. So that's what we're going to do. And as well as review some other rooms and things like that. No, that'll be the major work.
Oh, fair enough. Rob, as I say, you guys have anything in the pipeline aside from the controlled chaos that's behind you?
Yeah, besides that. So, I mean, we mentioned one of our auditoriums, I guess, during the break is going to be upgraded, projector, putting in a Vadio, two Vadio cameras, assisted listening devices. I believe we're going with the immersive pod, and so basically it's just a general AV upgrade to an auditorium that hadn't been touched in a very long time. And what was interesting about the project, and maybe you guys have run into this, is we originally had a certain amount allocated for it, and then they wanted to do electrical and lighting upgrades. And so we put the quotes out, and one of the quotes came back for changing the lighting ended up being more than what the entire project was allocated for. It was just astounding to me, you know, the amount, you know, when you put the AV technology aside and go a little over on the other side with the electrical and the lighting, it's just, I was like floored. So needless to say, we're not doing that part of it. Yeah. But so this is a 200-seat auditorium. And we're just upgrading AV on it, getting a, you know, a Dante put in there. It's our first one for in our department, and you know, on a separate land. So it should be a pretty smooth going, simple but exciting.
Now, Rob, I do have a question for you, and this is kind of one of those the wonderful world of ADA compliance and everything. Are you guys doing just your traditional, you know, like the RF headset unit? Are you guys doing, like, I think, like, both Listen and Williams Sound, or Williams AV, is going the route of, you know, the oh, you need Listen. Okay, literally, here's a hardware pod that you can download, that, you know, you can literally download the app, and you can then listen, you can, like, kind of pick the channel. If anything, Ernie actually showed this to me, oh, geez, I want to think about this. I think, like, 2 years ago, Williams AV came up with at least a kind of a baseline of this unit, and they've managed to streamline it down to, like, it's almost a quarter rack unit little device.
Yeah, exactly. So I believe we're just going with the old RF. I have to take a look at the spec on it. It's pretty simple. It's only like 12 units. We're not doing anything too complicated. So, but as far as being able to, now you said you download the app. Mm-hmm. And then you decide the channel that you're going to actually use to listen it. No, we're not going to that level yet. Yeah, we're keeping it real, real simple.
No, that's fine. If anything, it's one of those things of down the line, like we look at it and it's literally just an add-on that eventually, you know, we tell folks like, yeah, here we have like 10 of the RF units and everything. Have 10 people ever requested that? No, but at the same time, everyone, as I say, everyone has one of these.
Now, right. We've been looking at those from Listen right now, but the issue we're running into is to be ADA compliant, you have to have receivers. And the only thing we found that will work as a receiver without, you know, giving everyone a phone is iPods are still available. You can still buy an iPod and their Wi-Fi. And they will work with these. So, and they're about the same price as a Listener Williams RF receiver. So we're looking at putting these in a couple of places right now. And then we'd like to eventually roll our old RF units into that.
I can understand that one. Once again, Mr. Scott, we're not leaving out. What's the fun to do?
We actually are going to be taking it slightly easy over the next few weeks over break. We had an extremely busy summer. And so we're really just looking through what happened over the fall, getting into a few rooms and fixing some problems that were reoccurring, and just hoping to start the semester up with those things resolved. There are no big projects going on.
Wow.
Yeah.
for us, it's a combo of things. And I'll just keep it to this. We're going to be upgrading one classroom because originally we were going to do two, but our student success center, also formerly known as the tutoring center, suddenly wants to have a satellite enrichment center, like literally within the dorm space and everything. Like, okay, sure, fine, whatever. And then the other one is us swapping out three Christie projectors that I swear were installed when I was still a tech. So circa 2007, I think. And literally the big reason that we're swapping those out is because Christie literally said, we're not manufacturing that lamp anymore. So we have to move on. But from that, we're actually switching over to Epson. We're probably going to be switching over to Epson and everything. So, anyways, it's one of those things where we're going to be swapping it out. But it's the first time in a good while I'll have to hop into a Genie lift and everything. So, fun. This is like 20 feet up in the air. So, once again, hope I'm not afraid of heights, or am I?
I got to tell you a story one day about a Genie lift in our gym. We were putting in a projector. Mm-hmm. Elevator, and we hired somebody to do it because we weren't able to do it. And the lift that they used wasn't powerful enough to get it up with people on it. So this is a true story. This guy, and I had to leave because I couldn't watch this, started the lift going and then started climbing up the lift after it had started going because it couldn't lift with him on it. Literally climbing up along the scissors of the lift as the thing is going up in the air. And I was like, I will get in trouble if I know this is going on, so I'm just going to leave now.
I'm pretty sure there was an OSHA manual that burst into flames.
We had a similar situation, Scott. We were putting up a 90-inch display, and the display was heavy. It's going to take two people to handle it. Well, the lift wouldn't handle two people in the display going up. So the smaller guy rode up with the display. The other guy put a ladder beside it, climbed up the ladder, got in the basket when it got to the top, and mounted it, and then came back down the ladder before they lowered it.
I wasn't there to see this, of course, because I would have really had to say something afterwards, is that when they got up there, of course, the lift extended beyond the basket, right? So the guys had to sit on the edge of the basket to make the connections. And I have no idea how everybody survived that install.
I'm just pleading the fifth. That's it. I'm pleading the fifth.
Fair enough. Yeah. As I say, once again, this is a matter of public record. We don't want Rob having to explain this to OSHA. Anyways, we've kind of hit the end of our time here, guys. Once again, thank everyone for coming. Mr. Ernie Bailey, where can folks find you at?
You can usually find me on LinkedIn.
Oh, there we go. Scott, where can the fine folks find you at?
Usually on Twitter @STiner.
Ah, there we go. And Mr. Raspberry?
LinkedIn. It's a place to be.
There we go. And you can find me on Twitter and usually at LinkedIn. Once again, this has been EdTech, a monthly higher ed tech podcast. Once again.